Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Anna Hall is with us. She's the owner of Myrtle Restaurant and the Wee Sister in London. She's also now the host of a new TV show on BBC Two, that being Anna's Big Irish Food Tour, episode one, kicking off with Catherine Ryan, who she joined in Cork. And then this Monday, she has Dennis Taylor returning to a snooker hall in County Tyrone. She's with us this morning. Anna, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
It is lovely to talk to you. I would like to go back in time a little bit in your career. There are some interesting, some very interesting jobs that you held in some very interesting restaurants. Before we get to the restaurants, though, Clown, Ladies Department in Dunn's and the Tala Echo.
I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. You know, I guess I naturally was happy to work in whatever job, you know, was going at the time. You know, when you're young, that's the way you should be. And I liked people. So I tend to work with jobs where I was meeting people all the time.
So how did you convince Derry Clark to give you a gig in Lecrivan when you walked in and said, I've been a clown, I've worked in ladies' haberdashery?
Well, you know, being a chef, you know, 50% of the time, you know, you feel like you're being a clown with some of the things that you've got to do. But yeah, it was my second year apprenticeship, so I was really keen to kind of learn the craft, and Lecrivan was a great place to teach you that.
And Lecrivan was also unusual in the time, because Lecrivan had quite a few women manning the stoves, which at the time in a very male-dominated industry was unusual.
I think that it's unusual because it's about opportunity. And in Ireland, perhaps because it was a smaller country, there were less job options, so more women chose to do it than in England. But yeah, I think Derry, because his wife, Sally Ann, is such a strong woman, he wasn't intimidated or worried about hiring women. In fact, he kind of leaned with the idea that women were resilient and strong. So it made sense that he hired women and let them grow.
You then had a sort of a who's who of some of the top chefs and top restaurants as your career progressed. Of them, who was most influential on you?
It's a really difficult question, because I do think every chef I've worked for, I've learned, you know, a lifetime of lessons from them. But I think Shane Osborne and Pied à Terre really, really shaped me with his kind of dedication to graft and to kind of cooking. So I used to mirror him quite a lot, and sometimes I used to get a nickname of Manna, saying that I was like Anna, but I used to pretend to be quite manly.
And what about then that cultural thing? Because I mentioned working with Gordon Ramsay. There is a sense that it is a very difficult, very high pressure, very combative, very aggressive industry. Is that your experience? Did you become hardened by it?
Well, no, I don't think it hardened me at all. I think Gordon is a little bit similar to Derry in a way that Gordon hired the best person for the job, and he had no problem with women rising in the ranks. So, you know, I was the youngest of four children. I was raised in a household where hard work was kind of seen as something to be proud of and that you could enjoy. But also I was never afraid to kind of put my hand up and say, I don't understand, or I don't know, or I made a mistake. And I think that really stands to you in high pressured situations, because you're communicating really well. You know, so I think what made me resilient was my childhood. What made me resilient was my confidence and the friendships that I had. And the industry can be cruel if you don't have that kind of foundation.
You then did the economically Russian roulette thing of opening your own restaurants, because the statistical chance of restaurants working, even, I mean, Gordon Ramsay is case in point. Ramsay has had some enormous success. He's also had some disasters in the restaurants that he's opened, and they've gone pear-shaped on him. Myrtle and the Wee Sister, what convinced you it was time to move out on your own, and how did you find it?
Listen, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't my choice. It was like this mad whisper that was just constantly in my head telling me to do it. And I feel like my job is a vocation, like it chose me. And I think when you're on the right path in life, you know right and wrong, and then you know what you want to do. And sometimes what you want to do isn't the right thing for you. So what I wanted to do was stay with Modern European, but this whisper was in my ear going, you should take your mother's recipes and introduce it to the skills you've learned. And logically, it didn't make sense, because as a cuisine, it's definitely not recognized over here. It's not really known or understood even in Ireland enough. And but the whisper was there, and I opened up the restaurant and I called it a Modern European restaurant with an Irish influence. But very quickly, I realized that what people wanted more of was the Irishness, the culture, the food, the produce, the stories.
So what does that mean? Kilcannon? Boxty?
Yeah. Kilcannon, Boxty, Irish beef, great Irish dairy, Irish fish, brilliant Irish oats, amazing black Irish garlic, amazing Irish salts. The list, when I first opened the restaurant, I probably had five.
What's this black garlic?
Oh, this is from, sorry, there's, I'm in Chelsea and there's, you know, a fire brigade running past. Lusk, there's a wonderful farm called Taylor of Lusks, and they do black Irish garlic. It's kind of where they kind of age and ferment a garlic so that it's black and it comes completely different flavour, very complex. It's almost like a different vegetable.
Fermented?
Yeah, well, it's like they do like an aging process and under pressure of heat and it turns the clove jet black. Good quality ones are dark, dark black, but they're not burnt. They just have this lovely kind of nutty, complex, not licorice-y, but a real unique flavour that just gives depth and length that if you put it in a soup or a puree or a marinade, it's just a game changer.
There is a thing that I think you should do, which is, you know, the way Heston Blumenthal early in his career would find ways to invert things. So he did the famous the bacon and egg ice cream and the snail porridge and all of that kind of stuff. Mm. I think you should set about making your father's blended liver stew.
Oh my goodness. You know what's so heartbreaking about this? My mom was in hospital. So anytime dad ever cooked, it would have been when mom was, she'd problems with her varicose veins, and he was making the dinner and it all had gone wrong, and he'd overcooked the livers and he thought, I'll puree it. And maybe he'd heard about a pate. Anyway, pureed it. And it was really like, I think it was kind of green looking, because when you overcook liver, it goes a funny color. Anyway, he fed it to me and I was like, oh, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my life. And he goes, I'll give you 50p if you go into the others and tell them it's delicious. And I was like, you're on your own, dad. You're on your own. And I ran into them. Don't eat that.
There's something about, there's very few dishes where you can look and go, oh, you can actually taste it by the description. But the thought of stewed livers blended. Oh.
But I love the idea of my dad rustling out the blender that he's never used in his life, like trying to get into the corner press and try to find it. Yeah.
When in doubt, blend it. It's a good principle to live by.
That's actually good advice.
So of the tour that you're doing, I think there's 15 episodes in total. So you're doing a fair display of Ireland. Any particular highlight?
Oh my God, there's so many highlights. I mean, one which isn't even food related. I mean, food related, the wild Irish honey was incredible. The homemade, getting to make homemade black pudding, but an artisan black pudding by Inch House was incredible. The fishing for eels, the list goes on and on. But one of my favorite experiences was learning how to create a cup with my hands by James Collins, one of the last tinsmiths in Ireland. And it's just so part of our heritage. And it's such a wonderful, enjoyable thing thing to do. And it was like, I didn't think I'd get to make a cup. Shane Ward was the celebrity on with me. So obviously being a host, I let him go first. And we're at the end of the day, we're running out of time. And, you know, making a show is very expensive. You can't go over time, even by half an hour. And I'm twitching and I'm going mad in my head, but I'm not saying anything. And I think the director could read my body language pretty clear because I overheard him going, oh God, we better let her make a cup or I think she's going to explode. So I got to make a cup and I have that cup and it's a very important possession for me.
How cool is that? And I look forward to seeing the full of the series. That is Anna Haugh and it is the Big Irish Food Tour on BBC Two with a rake of celebrities.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.